doing a little experimenting today. So we're going to do a gatha called Gatha on Opening the Sutra, which we're going to chant. Carol will lead us in it.
Gatha on Opening the Sutra. The Dharma, incredibly profound and rarely encountered, even in millions of ages. Now we see it, hear it, receive and maintain it. May we completely realize the Tathagata's true meaning.
So I've been giving talks on the great vows for all. So this is the today I'm going to talk about the third vow. But before doing that, I want to say a few words on the word dharma, which, from my own experience in Zen practice, has a particular meaning or meanings. But when I was preparing to give this talk, I discovered that dharma has a variety of meanings. But to discuss a variety of meanings would really wind up making this more of a philosophical presentation than a Dharma talk, since the intention, or the basic intention of a Dharma talk, is to point simply and directly to the heart of the matter. It's not so much an intellectual discussion as a pointing toward the way. So for today, when I use the word Dharma in the context of the great vows, it's going to be used in two different ways, but sort of simultaneously. One way is using the word dharma is referring to the teachings of the Buddha. And the two essential teachings, his two essential teachings, are that all individual things are not separate from each other as the mind makes it seem. And the other teaching is that all individual things are impermanent, which means they're constantly changing. So that's the basic teachings of the Buddha. No separation and impermanence at the same time. And the second way that I will use the word dharma is to refer directly to the myriad of expressions of reality. And these could be colors, forms, sounds, tastes, sensations, feelings, memories, etc. Now, the version of the third vow, of the great vows for all that we use at Clear Mountain, is that dharmas are boundless, I vow to perceive them. And I found online a website that goes through the great vows for all as a variety of Zen centers chant them, and they're different. It's sort of interesting, so I thought I'd just mention them. Now, the Diamond Sangha, which is in Hawaii, which is Aitken Roshi's group, the third vow is, though the Dharma is vast and fathomless, I vow to understand it. The Zen community of New York, which was started by Bernie Glassman, chants, realities are boundless, I vow to master them. Kaplo Roshi up in Rochester Zen Center, they chant, Dharma gates without number, I vow to penetrate. And then in New York City, the Zen Studies Society, that was Edo Roshi, they chant, however immeasurable the Dharma teachings are, I vow to master them. So there are different interpretations. So I'm going to share with you my understanding through my experience and in Zen practice. And so basically, in taking this vow, the way I see it, we are saying that we will work to perceive each moment, each dharma that presents itself. We vow to see it as deeply and clearly as possible. That is, we will try to experience it so deeply, so directly, that there is no separation between body, mind, and this moment, between body, mind, and the dharma that presents itself. And as we stitch together these moments, we vow to realize the rich nature of a reality that is constantly changing and yet intimately related. Each dharma, each expression of reality is connected and a part of the whole tapestry that we name life, that we call life. Now, each dharma, each thing or each being that presents themselves, if we make ourselves open to it, as a teaching. So there's the dharma, there's what it is, what manifestation that's presenting itself to us, and then there is what's contained in that presentation, which is the teaching. And it's teaching us, it's making possible the awareness that this thing before us is here to teach us about impermanence and about no separation at the very same time. So how do we prepare ourselves to engage each moment in this way? Well, we do it by sitting and by bearing witness. That is, we greet each new moment, each new phenomenon, with a mind that doesn't know. We don't jump to impose a meaning. We don't jump to impose a definition, put a name on our experience. Rather, we just sit and are present with a mind of not knowing, perceiving directly, without prejudice, the dharmas that present themselves to us. And this way, we become intimate with them. And by becoming intimate with them, they inform us. It's just each moment, just as it is. So if I greet you without labels like man or woman, straight or gay, young or old, liberal or conservative, us or them, attractive or unattractive, bright or dull, and so forth, I allow myself to truly perceive you. Now, as I'm writing this Dharma talk and sitting up here passing on how to do this, I have to confess having failed. I was in a delicatessen, allowing myself my Haagen-Dazs ice cream pop of the day. There was the guy behind the counter, and he was chatting to some older fellow. And this guy he was pretty passionate about this, not necessarily the best sense of the word passionate. He comes up and he's like, Did you guys see this? He's waving the newspaper, which talks about the, I don't know if it's the Supreme Court or Superior Court of New Jersey, has affirmed that New Jersey has to allow gays to get married. And at first I'm thinking, oh, isn't this wonderful, this guy? Except he says, yeah, so now it's not Adam and Eve, now it's Adam and Steve. And he goes into this rant, and he was really angry about it. And I found myself getting angry at him and shutting down. So here I am talking about how to greet each new moment for his teaching, and I'm shutting down to it, you know. And I could see that, you know, I really wanted to say something to this guy, which would not have been helpful. So again, you know, the practice for me is to, okay, so how do I sit with this moment? You know, what is there to learn about encountering this kind of situation where somebody sees something so differently than me and so negatively? You know, what's the best way to encounter it? And this is true for any manifestation, any expression of life. We name this a gong. It has a name. But how do we engage it? How do we encounter it, right? So I can hold it, you know, and I feel it's pretty heavy. And I can feel it's cold because it's metal, you know. I can feel the metalness, hear the metalness of it. And then if I use the striker, it makes a sound. And because I'm holding it, I can feel the vibration much more distinctly than if I'm just sitting next to it. You know, so I'm actually having a physical engagement with this as well. My body is resonating with the gong. And the striker clunks when you put it in the gong. So that's an attempt to engage this thing that we call a gong. And as soon as I start to feel it through my body, the name of it disappears. The conceptualization of it disappears, and it becomes a direct experience. It's almost like I mentioned this so many times before, but it's like a dance, you know, where the dancers disappear and there's just the dance itself. And then the word dance is gone. It's just that movement, that relationship. So this is a dharma. And this dharma, this gong, this expression of reality, teaches me how to be at one with it, how to vibrate together with it, how to let go of its name. Maizumi Roshi wrote a book entitled Appreciate Your Life, The Essence of Zen Practice. And this is the way that we appreciate our lives and we appreciate each other, by experiencing the true nature of life itself. So dharma, or dharmas in this context, are the variety of ways that the universe manifests itself in each moment, and we vow to perceive directly, that is, become one with them, moment by moment. And this is where I love the evening gatha. And this is not a casual relationship. There's an incredible energy in this encounter. And if you remember, the evening gatha is time passes swiftly by and opportunity is lost. Each of us, not some of us, each of us must strive to awaken. Awaken. And then the last line, which always gives me chills. Take heed. Do not squander your life. Do not miss these opportunities to engage the Dharma. They're wonderful. Even when they're tough, like in the delicatessen, there's something in that experience, in that engagement, I haven't learned from yet, but there's something important there that it has to teach me. So I'm going to end with a poem called Lost, which apparently is an old Native American elder story. And this is the interpretation of it by David White, a poet. Stand still. The trees ahead and the bush beside you are not lost. Wherever you are is called here. And you must treat it as a powerful stranger. Must ask permission to know it and be known. The forest breathes. Listen. It answers, I have made this place around you. If you leave it, you may come back again, saying, here. No two trees are the same to raven. No two branches are the same to wren. If what a tree or a bush does is lost on you, you are surely lost. Stand still. The forest knows where you are. You must let it find you. So you could also say, the Dharma knows where you are. You must let it find you. You must open yourself to it. Thank you.